from all over the world to entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, of course. It is April 15th, 2024. You're tuned in to the Drive-In Speaker Box. We're going to be talking to you about movies for the next 49 minutes to an hour, whatever it is that we just decide. You'll find out by the end of the show, and so will we. But I am your host, Bo the Boom Operator.
I'm Slick Doggy the Grip.
And if you've been with us on Twitch, if you follow us on Twitch, we've been in the studio here with the Twitch pre-show, hanging out with the gang over on Twitch, talking about all manners of fun things. But we're going to be talking about more manners of fun things and minding our manners today. This is a special etiquette episode of the Drive-In Speaker Box. But we've got some stuff to cover. We both saw some movies. Mm-hmm. I went and saw the new Civil War film from A24, which was in theaters this weekend. Caught that. And Jake, what did you catch, man?
I went and watched one of the many foreign films that we had in theaters.
Bunch in our theaters this
week. We had at least three Indian movies and one Korean film at a single theater. So I watched one of the Bollywood movies. I watched Bade Mian Chote Mian.
Bade Mian Chote Mian. It's like the thing that the guy says in Temple of Doom as he's like being lowered into the flame. He's like, Bade Mian, Bade Mian, Bade Mian, Bade Mian. And then he like, and then Kali Ma, like Mola Ram is like, Kali Ma, shot today. And like squishes his.
Actually, it's a name of brothers. One's name is Bade Mian and the other one is Chote Mian.
He said, oh, dump should I. I'm just.
He did say that. Yeah.
Oh, dump should I. Oh, dump should I. And then. Like grape.
And, oh, you're talking like the guy who was praying as his heart got ripped out and then he burned.
And
the heart burns in his hand.
But anyway, so we saw those movies. We're going to be talking about those with you here in a moment. But it is the time where we talk about news. That's what we do because the whole week happened and we need to get you caught up on what happened this week. And this week was also CinemaCon.
Yeah, which is all of the news.
Yeah, so lots of trailers dropping, lots of stuff going on. I mean, everybody's talking about, I mean, one of the big things was like, oh my God, Shadow is Keanu Reeves in Sonic 3.
Yeah, that was just announced today.
That was some freshness. Yeah. So Sonic 3, you know, they were just like, okay, Sonic 1, then we're going to throw some Idris Elba on you, and now we're throwing Keanu on you. And, you know, I mean, what an interesting franchise.
It was also announced, too, that Robotnik is supposed to look a lot like video game Robotnik.
Has he gained some weight? Is he round? Is he Eggman?
He's supposed to be egg-ish, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, bring in Jim Carrey. Like, how many times has Jim Carrey said he's retiring? But he's like, not until I do 1,000 Sonics. It's like, is Sonic...
That's fine.
Like Sonic is to Jim Carrey as Garfield was to Bill Murray.
Forced into it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what? I can't resist. I got to do another one. And then tell everybody's like, oh, it was contracts. You know?
Well, the thing on Bill Murray is, according to him,
I think he really wanted to do it.
He said that the name of the director was the same as like, it was like Cohen or something like that. Mm. And so he thought it was the Cohen brothers and just signed on without reading into it first. Or at least that's what he says, right? Is that he just saw the name of the director and he's like, oh, Cohen, okay. Well, here we go. And then it was not the Coens he was thinking of. And
these are not the Coens you were thinking of.
Yeah, something like that.
Other more exciting animated news from CinemaCon is that it's official. We're getting an animated Avatar The Last Airbender theatrical sequel, which is pretty cool. They've announced a new voice cast because obviously it's been a while, and they don't probably sound like children anymore. But with all of the Airbender hype that's going on, I mean, Netflix, the first season is out there. It's not bad as far as live actions go. The next two seasons have been riddled with all sorts of production chaos, so I don't know.
Didn't I read that they're supposed to have them as, like, grown-ups in this movie, though? Why would they have to have a new voice cast if they're going to have them be adults? Weren't they adults? Weren't they adults in Legend of Korra?
Legend of Korra, yeah. It might take... There was
Why don't they just take those?
A lot of place. Well, they didn't have a lot of voices in there. I don't know. We'll see. Hmm. I don't know. I'm going to keep up with it. Eric Nam, I think, is playing the lead role. Dave Bautista is cast to be the villain. Should be pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I like Avatar shit, so I'll keep you posted on that one. Another Star Trek prequel movie announced. If you want to jump on that one.
Yeah, so they've been talking about this a little bit, but I guess this is their officially announcing that it is going to happen, because they've been talking about this for like a month or two or three or however long. What the hell is this prequel? So it was announced as part of this that it is in the Kelvin timeline. Because in Star Trek, their timelines are like an event that changes it doesn't just change it from that point forward. It has echoes that change the past of that timeline and stuff like that as well. So I'm sure they're going to use that as an excuse to just do whatever the hell they want. But it's supposed to be the founding of the Federation. So is everything Enterprise still going to be what happened to this point? Because Enterprise ends with the founding of the Federation, mm-hmm. right? So is it going to be Enterprise, this movie, and then the split for Kelvin and good Star Trek? Or is it Enterprise never happened in this Kelvin Echo timeline? I want to know.
Well, you know more about it than I do.
Are they going to ruin Klingons even more?
Please don't. Entirely possible. I feel like that's the habit Klingons that they have.
Yeah, and then Picard, they have Worf come back, and they're like, what do you mean ruined Klingons?
Worf's return and Picard was actually kind of cool. You didn't know, because you didn't see it, so you wouldn't know. But it was pretty cool.
I saw the clips online.
It was pretty cool.
The whole drinking tea, being peaceful thing.
It was pretty cool.
Which just doesn't...
You didn't see all the build-up through the episodes where... You know, she's contacting this guy who's like an informant handler, and you don't know that it's Worf until the moment you find out that it's Worf, and you're like, of course he's a freedom fighter.
Yeah, and but it ruins the... Because Star Trek Online was supposed to be canon. Like, the story of Star Trek Online was supposed to be canon, and Worf was still ambassador on the Klingon homeworld in Star Trek Online.
I think something happened, and he had to, like, you know, to protect the true, authentic values of space coolness, he had to like dip into the shadows and become a freedom fighter. Because you've seen it a bunch of times. How many corrupt governments has Worf stood up against?
One.
Exactly. It's one more than a lot of people.
He stood up to one twice. It was under two different dudes.
He's just like, I know I should be bloodbound to you, Martok, but eat this.
No, and not Martok.
Was who? Or Gowron?
He wasn't bound to Gowron. It was Gowron or the Duras family, and the Duras family were a bunch of punks. Yeah.
But speaking of things that I don't like, Gowron. But did you? This is something that I thought was only going to be a joke. We talked about it when I went and saw it. I reviewed this movie like last year on the show. And Transformers Rise of the Beasts, you know, the Beast Wars movie. At the very end, they teased a Transformer and G.I. Joe crossover movie confirmed at CinemaCon.
Yep, they said it's going to release next year or 2026. But it is going to happen.
Why? Why, though?
Because, man, toys or whatever.
I mean...
Hasbro and Milton Bradley or whatever the hell also have Margot Robbie producing their Monopoly movie. They're making a Monopoly movie. Like, it's just, they're getting dumb with it, dude, because people are like, yeah, I'll watch it. Who cares?
Hmm. Well, speak of more unnecessary sequels, Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
Who asked for that?
They released film from Gladiator 2, which kind of gives everyone a look at what it's going to be. The little kid from the first one is now the main character in this.
Why, though?
Yeah. Well, because, man, they've been... people said they're excited about it. One thing I've read,
though, are we that void of excitement in our life that a Gladiator 2 sequel excites us?
Well, everyone said the footage looked pretty good. The only part I'm concerned about is that people... Where is this in my notes? That people said that the film... The footage they released at CinemaCon... shows a lot of callbacks where they've recreated scenes and quotes from the first movie, which is always sucky because, like, do you remember the good one?
We gotta reimagine it for a new audience that probably is gonna look at the old Gladiator, even though it's fantastic, and look at it and go, that's old, I'm not gonna watch it, but I'll watch this new one because it's new.
They gotta season it with the member berries. Yeah.
That's the problem is, and I talk to people all the time when they're like, hey, Bo, do you got any movie recommendations for me? I'm bored. I'd really like to watch a movie this weekend. What should I see? And I'm like, what are you in the mood for? And I'll list out some just fantastic classics, like, you know, cornerstone films of if you're wanting to, like, build an encyclopedia in your mind castle of, like, to become a good movie watcher. You're like, this, and this. And they go, oh, that's so old. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's great. This is the goodest example, the bestest of the bestest examples of this kind of film. And you're like, nah, I'm gonna watch Alien Romulus before I watch Alien, because the Alien, that's old. Fuck off. Like, watch the originals, man.
Yeah, or just even watch Aliens. Read what happened in Alien and then watch Aliens. Aliens rules.
Moana 2.
Moana 2 was talked about, yeah.
Mufasa.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is there anything new that we can get excited about, or is it all just stuff from the 90s and the 80s?
Well, sure enough, man, there's all sorts of new things. Like, Variety reported that Paramount and Miramax have said that Scary Movie's getting a reboot.
That's... What?
Yeah, dude, this just because you can't...
How do you get a... What, are you just going to make another one?
No, dude, they're just starting it all over again.
I mean, so, okay.
Maybe they're stepping away. No Wayans brothers are going to be involved in it or something. Wait, I don't know.
Well, if the Wayans brothers are just making another Scary Movie, because that movie is a parody franchise,
right?
It's
a reboot.
That's what I don't understand. How do you reboot something that's a parody franchise? Like, all they got to do is go, Scary Movie 9, and they're just... making fun of Annabelle and the First Omen and, like, whatever's popular now, and they just spoof those. Like, what the? Are they gonna do all the same Scream jokes and the
take my other hand, that one's not strong enough.
You know, and then the kids are gonna be like, why are they making what's that alien? I don't understand. Like, are they gonna just repackage old jokes? Are they gonna make new? Just make new.
Who knows? Yeah, Vince has it has lore. Who knows, man? I don't remember the movies well enough to tell you. They had the same actors, so I don't know I don't know if it just means they're getting all new actors or new direction.
I don't understand.
Other new things, super fresh, new, not part of an existing IP at all. They released the trailer for Ballerina at CinemaCon too. Definitely its own thing, new
completely
idea.
Completely new and fresh original idea.
I guess in the footage you get to see her and John Wick kind of doing their team up thing. Ian McShane and Lance Reddick are both in it. So
I thought Lance Reddick was dead.
He is, but they filmed this a super long time ago.
Okay.
You remember?
Yeah.
Finally has its footage out, and I guess people are like, oh, yeah, look at that. It's supposed to take place between 3 and 4. Angelica Houston is in it and everything because she was the Russian ballet person that had, like, put all them tattoos on John Wick or whatever.
Yep, I remember that part.
Yeah. Also super fresh and new and not a sequel or spinoff of anything at all. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 at CinemaCon is made official. It's looking for a fall 2025 release.
I'm surprised it's 2025. I figured they'd try to turn that thing around real fast.
Yeah, I guess they just didn't have faith that it would be as big as it was. Also, something, actually a brand new idea, something brand new, super fresh,
what?
Original IP, footage from the Nosferatu movie.
I mean, okay.
The one thing I hate about all the CinemaCon news, it's like, people got to watch trailers and teasers and footage, and you're like, cool, can I watch it? And they're like, no. You had to be there.
You had to be there to watch this commercial that's going to be out here in a little while. You know, okay, I will give the Nosferatu a pass. I mean, because, yes, it's there's a remake, but it's like 1930s. You know, I feel like that one gets a pass. But Jesus Christ, can we not, like, think of something new? Or is it... And I don't... here's the deal. I don't think it's the studio's lack of creativity. I don't think it's filmmakers' lack of creativity. I don't think that there's a shortage of people that want to make movies that are that stupid and that not creative. The problem that I feel is that no one's willing to go take a chance on new ideas anymore.
Right.
And so these people that are making these decisions are like, I don't want to put my neck out for something that I know is not going to make at least a little money. And everybody is just like, well, I don't think I'm going to put my pants on unless it's Ninja Turtles 19.
It's something that definitely sucks for all of us. But at the same time, if you were a producer and you were trying to make money off a movie.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to...
Excuse me, guys.
Do you want to spend your money?
I get the surefireness of it. But where did the passion go? Where did the creativity go? Where did the art go? Where did the storytelling go? Like, because it used to be there, you know? But I guess greed has taken over and replaced, you know, these once cool chance-taking producers. I just like, no. We just make sure it's a surefire deal.
Well, I mean, the good news is there's still people out there taking chances. Brand new original IPs that have never been put on screen or television before. The Highlander.
Well, and yeah.
How many of these am I going to be able to do like that?
Yeah.
Henry Cavill at CinemaCon talked about how he's super stoked. About Highlander, because they will be going deep into the lore of Highlander.
So deep.
He's talked about it before, mixing the lore of the TV series and the movies that are out there. So we're going to get the Watchers, which is actually a really cool thing.
That's cool.
Supposedly, right? That's what everyone's thinking, because he said TV show lore is there. And what's the lore in the TV show? The Watchers.
Watchers, yeah.
Right. That's kind of exciting. He said the sword play is going to be sick. He's like, dude, if you think sword fighting in The Witcher's the tits,
just wait.
Highlander's going to be so much better. So he's real jazzed.
All those dudes do is spend centuries practicing swords, so they better be pretty freaking good at them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if they live through it. If you don't, then, you know, quickening. So, Highlander continues to look more promising as long as they keep the Queen soundtrack. I hope Clancy Brown is in there somewhere.
Just as a voice.
Yeah, just as somebody.
Yeah.
I want Clancy Brown in there.
Because he still does a lot of voice work. I mean, he was in this just the second part of the season of Invincible.
He's Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. Well, he's everybody. Clancy Brown rules.
Yep.
I want to comment on Movie Albert. He just posted on a Twitch. He said, we have art house films and foreign product instead of Hollywood fluff. I mean, that's like that. You look at A24, which is I'm going to review Civil War in the second half of the show. And they're taking chances on new properties. And it's working out for them. I don't understand why these other places.
You watched an art movie. I watched a foreign movie. How about it? That's what we do. Also, you know, original ideas heading to a movie theater near you. Wolfman got some footage released at CinemaCon.
The re-dark universing of the Dark Universe.
Yes, they are referring to it as Universal Monsters, as if it's its own studio. Universal Monsters, apostrophe. It belongs to Universal Monsters. Wolfman. This one has only started filming in March. We talked about it when they like tweeted out their hey, look at us, or put on Instagram or whatever it is. But they already have some footage enough together to create a teaser that they showed at CinemaCon. It's being done by the guy that did Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still trying to do this, yeah, dark universe, Universal Monsters type thing.
I mean, it's a tough sell, but it could be done. Like, I love Universal Monsters, but they are also sacred and precious. You know, it's one of those deals that the 8th, 9th, and 10th, you know, installment of Dracula it wasn't sacred, but those first handful were. And, you know, they're iconic in their own special way, but I feel like not everybody like loves those movies. They love those characters, and it's that's a dangerous thing to have to play with, because they're going to go in a theater and you don't really know. You can't, as a filmmaker, you can't really truly understand why a person likes the Wolfman, or why a person likes Creature from the Black Lagoon, or why a person likes Frankenstein, because everybody that was alive when those movies were new are probably dead now. And a lot of the people, like myself, my fandom from the Universal Monsters does not stem from any movie. And I know a lot of people like this. They're like, oh man, when I was a kid, like, you know, it was on all the Pepsi things, and you see the cartoon of the this, or, oh, well, I used to dress up as a Wolfman, and you just like these things as icons. And so it's weird, because tapping into everybody's nostalgia is impossible, because these characters are so sacred that they mean something. They have transcended movies and become icons of horror without having a movie really attached. And so to make new movies with these icons is really hard, and you're probably gonna upset a lot of people, because it's important to each person differently. Does that make any sense?
It sure does.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here are some actual real new IPs.
Okay. Okay. Is it gonna be like ET? Jokes, what are you?
The joke's over. So, other things that have been announced is, we talked about it, or someone mentioned something in the pre-show here. The Last Ronin has been confirmed.
But that's not...
It's not a new IP, it's Ninja Turtles, but it's a new story for film and animation or whatever. It's
true,
going to
okay,
be
I'll give you that. I'll give you
R-rated live-action movie is the confirmation. So, not animated, not CGI, it's going to be a R-rated live-action Turtles film about one brother left after the other three have perished, and he alone is the last Ninja Turtle. So that could be cool. A lot of people really liked that miniseries. Yep.
And
Walmart has the
game.
Graphic novel for cheap all the time. Yeah, video games coming out. Apparently, Last Ronin was like the biggest thing in the world. But it was based off a story that Eastman and Laird actually wrote for Turtles, which is probably why it's so popular, because it wasn't someone taking their idea and doing whatever Turtles, like Nickelodeon type stuff with. This was like actually like the guys that were like that made Ninja Turtles kind of had this story going. So that could be cool. We also have a Chris Farley biopic announced.
I saw that as well.
With the blessings of his brother and family. It's being directed by Josh Gad and starring Paul Walter Hauser from Cobra Kai.
Dude, that
and
guy is
various
so
other movies.
Such a goober.
Yeah, big guy, funny guy. So we'll see where that one goes. I don't know if he can be Chris Farley.
I mean, Chris Farley is Chris Farley.
Yeah. There was talking biopics. There was also footage released from the Michael Jackson biopic at CinemaCon. It showed him as a little kid and being kind of like, I don't know if I can go out on stage, and his mom being like, yeah, you can do it. Go out there. People might think you're different, but you know, they're just going to be haters. Go out there and do it, all the way up to like Man in the Mirror type stuff. So it showed things from his entire career of being like little Michael Jackson singing in the Jackson 5, all the way up to like
little Michael,
king of pop stuff. You know, that's something that can be exciting. I can't wait to see some of these trailers, honestly. You talked about Batista earlier, new movie with him, The Killer's Game. where he is a hitman. It's supposed to be an action comedy, which seems to be really like the Batista type thing. He gets a diagnosis from a doctor that says that he is, has a terminal illness. So he arranges his own assassination, only to find out that his diagnosis was wrong, and that he will not be dying soon, and he has to cancel his assassination / fight off all the people that are trying to, whack him. So that could be fun. Also, what else we got here? We got
so many
One Punch Man live action.
That I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't either, because it's being rewritten by Dan Harmon and Heather Ann Campbell.
Didn't we cancel Dan Harmon?
No, the other one.
Oh, that Justin Roiland. He got canceled.
Yeah, Justin Roiland. So the writers of Rick and Morty are writing One Punch Man, which does not seem like a proper fit. And
They're
like, oh, it'll catch the comedy of the original. It's like, I think you're missing the point if the only thing you're seeing is the comedy. White people making a live action anime always turns out
fantastic.
So good. Just
looking at
the
your
best.
Death Note.
Dragon Ball.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And one thing actually that I'm actually really excited about is that Cannes said that they will be premiering the new David Cronenberg movie.
Oh,
yeah,
all
the
right.
Shrouds.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's coming up here mid-May, 14th
Sounds
through the 25th.
Fleshy.
Yeah. David Cronenberg movies are always super weird. Can be a lot of fun sometimes. And I am excited about getting to see that one, hopefully. I hope one of our theaters gets it near us, because I like watching Cronenberg movies. They're freaking weird, and they're always in like their own world of weird. And you just get to go be like, what the hell am I watching? Usually for at least an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that could be a good time. And what else we got? Oh. I forgot one other super original, not a remake IP, that was
brand new.
Talked about. Brand new. Stephen King's Running Man.
Oh, fresh. Crispy.
Yeah. Directed.
New content.
Yeah. Directed by Edgar Wright. Got its first actor cast. Definitely going to be the Arnold Schwarzenegger of this one. One of your favorite up-and-comers here.
Oh, great.
Glenn Powell.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Love it.
So Mr. Music Video the Movie is making Running Man, starring Mr. Every Movie. So
fantastic.
Yep. Also, on TV, since we were talking about TV series earlier, debuting tonight, probably right now. As soon as you're done with the show, you could probably go watch it. Watch Vince's movie first, and then you can turn on Hulu and watch The Stranger. It's has Dane DeHaan as like a creepy serial killer.
He is a creepy dude.
It's like a mini series, and it's about like he's a psychopath serial killer.
I haven't seen him in a while,
right? And he's like torturing this like ride share driver. Uber driver lady, in the clip that they showed, he like gets in her car and she's trying to make small talk, chat with him. And he's like, oh yeah, I got dropped off by another ride share at this person's house. And I knocked on the door, and when the woman answered, I shot her in the face. And then I called you, and now you're driving me away from the crime scene. And she's like, that's not funny. He's like, no, it's not. And then that's the whole clip. He's super creepy. But what's funny about that, it's not original either. It was originally a Quibi show.
What?
Yeah.
Quibi?
So, yeah, so now it's like a long form. No. So now it's a long form show, but it's set to debut today if it's not already out. That could be cool. Dane DeHaan definitely does a really good creepy guy.
He most certainly does.
Like when he flipped in that movie where he got the telekinesis powers with Michael Jordan.
The found footage movie where...
Yeah. And yeah. He was like super creepy. Harry Osborn.
He always like has
Amazing
like
Spider-Man 2.
Dead, like creepy guy eyes. He's just like, I'm Dane DeHaan.
Yeah, he was in that movie, that Thousand Planets, like French comic book movie.
But he was the hero in that. Yeah.
Doesn't mean he wasn't creepy.
He was a little creepy because he always just looks creepy. He's just
the creepy good.
I was like Valerian and something of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, well, all right. Well, we need to tell you what's coming out in theaters this weekend.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it's a new weekend, April 19th. It's coming up. Make sure you finish paying your taxes tonight, guys. It's tax day. Don't forget to do that. But
or file your extension.
Yeah, which I might be doing this afternoon or as soon as I get done with the show. So we've got some movies that are coming out this weekend, like they always do. There are three that are probably going to get a wide release. I
just saw Vince's comment, IP incomer.
But let's see, of the three, probably the least talked about is Sasquatch Sunset, from director as David Zellner, written and directed from David Zellner.
I think that's the least talked about. I've seen tons of stuff
about
it. Have you?
Like, well, I mean, compared to the other two.
Well, it's because you're supposed to see a lot of pee-pee and poo-poo Sasquatch bodily functions on screen. So graphic and realistic that people just got up and walked out of this thing.
Which is hilarious. So I'm okay with that. And Jesse Eisenberg, you know, in this one. But that one's coming out in theaters this weekend. And then Abigail, which has been, I've seen a thousand trailers for Abigail. Again, just sort of horror movie fodder about a young vampire, giving me big, you know, Claudia vibes from Interview with the Vampire, but like on crack. And a bunch of people trapped in a house. Tiny little ballerina vampire named Abigail, you know, Giancarlo Esposito there going, all right, we're locking you in because I'm always the bad guy. And these young cast of people, Dan Stevens, who is like in literally every movie that's coming out right now. I've seen Dan Stevens. He was just in Godzilla versus Kong.
He was the vet.
He's you know, coming out in Abigail. I've seen him in two trailers that popped up recently. He's just all over the place. But yes, I love a good vampire movie. I'll probably see it because, you know, vampires.
It actually doesn't look bad. It looks like that Ready or Not movie.
Yeah, but with a vampire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which Ready or Not 2 has been talked about and announced, mm-hmm. or something like that. They're writing the script for it right now or something. It's supposed to be way more intense or whatever.
Whoa, even more intense.
But like, yeah, someone locked in the house.
Does it have a
jetpack? Oh, maybe. You got to wait for part 3 to get the jetpack. But this one, it doesn't look bad because it's like they're all hired guns or like mm-hmm. hit people. And
they're like, oh, you're going to get all this money if you just like this kidnapped kid. We just got to wait for the people to come pick it up, and then they lock them in. It's like, psych, you're actually food. And so, yeah, they have to.
Yeah, because the vampire girl likes to play with her food.
Yeah, so.
It doesn't look bad.
Doesn't look, I mean, vampires. Vampires are cool. Kind of goofy. And the movie that I wanted to go see the preview of the other day, but couldn't make it, but I've been looking forward to this movie for a minute, because I also like Guy Ritchie movies.
I wanted to see it too, but the theater was too full of people.
And I just feel like it's a little bit of a return to form to some Guy Ritchie. I really enjoyed his show, The Gentleman, on Netflix recently. I feel like Guy Ritchie is kind of getting back to what Guy Ritchie knows how to do. And this is the new film, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. It's about a British military recruiting a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. I don't normally like World War II movies, but I do like Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, and I do like, you know, Babs Augmundsson and Cary Elwes, and I do like, you know, Rory Kinnear and all of these other dudes that are in this movie.
Well, this is very loosely based on true story.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude that Henry Cavill's playing is supposedly the basis for Ian Fleming's James Bond.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. Yeah, super loosely based, true story, possibly the basis for 007 and all of the success from there. I think in the reality of it, all of this was achieved without any gunshots and things like that, explosions or whatever. But yeah, Guy Ritchie's going to make it super action. Take some story that's like super epic, but then be like, but what if we made it more. So I definitely want to go watch this because, yeah, I like Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson. Plus, you got Superman and Aquaman slash Hawk on screen together at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, I'm down with this. I want to see this movie. So yeah, a lot of stuff hitting theaters this weekend, which, you know, there's a lot of stuff in theaters right now. So some of these movies are going to probably slip because, you know, I think maybe Dune's probably going to lose a lot of theaters because it's been out the longest. But a lot of these movies that are in theaters right now have only been out for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we don't have a whole lot of 6-7 week movies in the theaters right now.
It could be one of those things too, where all these big or like bigger movies come out, like Ungentlemanly Warfare, and people are like, I want to see that. And they're like, oh, we got to go watch this one first.
Mm.
You know, we've been meaning to watch this one. So let's wait for that one to slow down and go watch this now that there's less people watching it.
Yep. Well, speaking of movies that are in theaters or coming into theaters, it's time for us to talk about some of the movies that we caught in theaters this week. I'll go ahead and start with Civil War, which is the new film from Alex Garland. I talked a little bit about it last week, and some of Alex Garland's other movies, which I have prefaced as being somewhat unapproachable for the average Joe audience goer, which is something I'm going to address about this movie. I went into this movie. It's an hour and 49-minute runtime. Kirsten Dunst stealing the show alongside of Wagner Moura, an up-and-comer Kaylee Spaney, Nick Offerman as a cameo role as the president, and then just absolutely stealing the show, Stephen McKinley Henderson. This dude is he's always fun to watch, and he just was the heart of this whole movie. But the story is about not a civil war in the United States. That's what people can't seem to get through their thick freaking skulls about this movie. I walked out of the movie enjoying what I saw. It's not an easy movie to watch. It's pretty intense at times. But I get out and there's like some dudes that talk like this, like I'm not even exaggerating, man. You know, had his coveralls on. One of them, pretty sure, had a spit cup, you know, because you can always see the paper towel coming out the side where they're doing in there and it soaks up in the paper towel. And they're like, man, you know what? I just don't even understand that movie. Didn't even tell me what the Civil War got started by and what side was fighting for what and who. Oh, what side are these people on? What was the side of the person that wrote this movie? I want to know who the side they're on. And it was like, these people, I feel like, were the kind of people that wanted to go see this movie because they were like, oh, dude, this is where we secede to Trump's America. And this is where, you know, this is our fantasy that we want to see come true.
Show your seals.
We want this. This is what we want to see on screen. Bring it, because we've been preparing, man. I got my guns. I got my Vienna sausages that I've trained myself to enjoy the taste of. I am just ready for it, man. And this movie is not about that at all. In fact, you have no idea why the Civil War is started in this movie. It just serves as a backdrop to tell a story, a very good story, about a photojournalist played by Kirsten Dunst, who's the leader in her field, an award-winning war photographer who is just kind of seen enough. And this young girl played by Kaylee Spaney, she tags along because she wants to be a war journalist. But, you know, Kirsten Dunst sees a lot of herself in this young girl and is like, I am instinctually want to protect you from becoming what I am. You know, and as this story unfolds, as Kaylee becomes more like Kirsten, Kirsten starts to crack at the seams. And the performance from Kirsten Dunst, like, she has the deadest, most soulless eyes in this movie that just haunt you through the whole freaking movie. You can just see, like, you know, they say a lot of the performances is in the eyes, and it's just, you're just captivated how broken and sad and terrible she looks. Even in times where they're exciting, she just keeps this haunted, gaunt look the whole time. That was just really, really impressive from just a performance standpoint. But the point of the story is they're in New York, and Nick Offerman's the president. The California and Texas have joined forces as the Western forces, and they are rebelling against the United States government. And you can't really, by the end of it, you feel like the United States was in the wrong, but you can't really figure it out. But the president is, you know, they're going to push in and storm the White House and kill the president. So Kirsten and her friend, that's Lee and Joel, decide they're going to go race against the clock to go to D.C., which is basically suicide, to go and try and document the president. And this, her friend Joel wants to interview the president. He's a writer. She's a photographer. And then they get the tag along from a, from an old journalist played by Stephen Henderson, who wants, it's like his last huzzah. And this group of four people, the young girl tags along, they go throughout from New York down to D.C. driving. It's like a 500-mile trip. But along the way, they're seeing all of these horrible backdrops of like what happens when people are warring against each other, and what is war? Do people really know why they're fighting? Are they just finding excuses to have violence? It does it come to a point where it stops being about the issue and it's just, this person's trying to kill me, so I'm going to kill them? They, like, you know, they really break down war. And her whole point was like, I went and traveled to all these war zones to show people that you should never do this here. And here it is. It's happening here, and still nobody's listening. And it's very strange, and it's there's some very intense like action sequences. There is a scene that you will not be able to shake with the guy. Oh, what is his name? Oh my gosh, I have to.
I saw an article about it. Blonde dude plays a German guy quite a bit. He has a big head, small eyes.
Kind of redheadish blonde.
Yeah.
God, I cannot think of his. Jesse, is it? Geez, what is?
Yeah, that's
in,
it.
Is it Jesse? It's not Jesse.
Yeah,
Plemons.
Right there.
No,
yeah,
it's not him.
That's it.
Yes, Jesse Plemons. Okay, I thought that name sounded familiar. Oh my God, there is a scene with this, with Jesse Plemons, because he looks so like innocent and dumb in the face, but he can just turn on terrifying so quickly. And there's this scene that's just really traumatizing where they come across these guys that are dressed out in camos and have a, you know, assault rifles, and they're just dumping a whole lot of bodies into a hole, right, that they've killed, and they're salting them down, you know, and they're like, what's going,
you know,
on there?
as they do.
And you know, they're trying to figure out like who they are, what forces they're on, like who they're fighting for. But they're looking at the corpses in the dump truck, and it's just people, just all kinds of people. And they accidentally get discovered, and they have to interact with Jesse. And there was a really interesting scene. He's wearing these like red glasses, like these tinted like heart shaped glasses. And if you're reading into the scene, you're thinking this guy is only seeing red, right? You know, this guy is a hair trigger waiting to happen, and shit goes bananas. And it's just showing the disgusting, horrible parts of violence and war, and where it brings out people, some of the worst in people, where they're not even, doesn't even matter what side it is. It's just violence for violence sake. And they got caught up in it. And it's a lot to unpack. But the movie is not about a civil war at all, which I loved. And I think that this movie is getting some negative flack because people are going in not realizing that you can see a movie that's called Civil War that takes place in a civil war and it really not be about that civil war. It's more of the story of the characters in this backdrop. Character-driven narratives, I don't know. Are they a thing of the past? Maybe. But I really enjoyed it. I think that this movie came out at the best time ever because the United States is frightening at times, and I saw a lot of it pushed to an nth degree, which is what good science fiction does. You know, it makes us think about what would happen if we were in that situation. And I think a lot more people need to see this, and not for the reasons that those dudes behind me were like, man, I want to make America great again, dude. Like, come on, man, let's just get at it.
That man's currently sitting in court for a criminal trial while also hoping to become president of the United States once again.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. That's really weird.
You know, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction. But I checked it out. It's in theaters right now. Doing pretty well for A24, they, you know, it had a $50 million budget, one of the biggest budgets that A24 has ever really put together for one of their films. But so far, it is doing pretty good. They're pretty excited about it. I think it's probably going to get a severe drop-off as of next week because this movie is a little bit more of a thinking person's movie. And then we're going to get, you know, World War II, bang, bang, pew, pew, and then Vampire Romp Fest coming out. So people will be like, okay. I don't want to think. But yeah, you can check it out. So that is in theaters. And also in theaters, if you live near us or have foreign films come near you, is Jake's film of the week.
Yeah. Talking about a healthy dose of nationalism, we got Bare Mian Chote Mian, which is a recycled title. It is the title of a 1998 movie that starred Amitabh Bachchan, who's a super famous Hindi actor, and now this new movie released in 24 with Tiger Shroff and what's the other guy's name? Akshay Kumar. They get this name because they are two guys in the military.
They're the
most elite of the elite that India has to offer, but they have a rivalry with each other, and so they decide that you know, their mission that they go on, this like epic mission that made them famous, you know, they'll name it after whatever movie came out on the anniversary of that day, you know. And it was Bare Mian Chote Mian, which is a story about two policemen who are framed because they have two lookalike criminals named Bare Mian and Chote Mian who look just like them, that are committing crimes, and the police are framed for it. And then that comes into play and fits in this movie. But this movie is a sci-fi action epic weird thing that totally threw me for a loop.
In the future?
No.
It's just got sci-fi ideas.
Yes. It's like now, but so it's an action adventure, like revenge movie, but it throws weird sci-fi elements in it, like people that can heal from devastating injuries in an instant. Like a guy gets a spike through his neck and he just pulls his face off and it heals instantly. They stab That's people cool. and shoot them and they heal instantly, and they make like robot noises and you're like, what the hell am I watching? Because that wasn't in the trailers. And of course, the only people that can stop these invincible warriors who wear these masks and are assaulting Indian forces and have stolen the package, which contains the elements of India's force field dome that covers the country from all incoming or outgoing missile attacks, is, you know, code names Bare and Chote Mian, who are Rocky and what was the other guy's
Bullwinkle.
Name? No, Freddy. Rocky and Freddy. You know, old dude and young dude. You know, old and busted, new hotness type thing. And it has that kind of Men in Black dynamic to it. It's a lot of fun. You know, you get lots of dumb action. You get these crazy the sci-fi elements in it out of nowhere. And of course there's that whole Indian movie, mid movie twist that you get, you know, because the villain is someone from all of their past, and you know, their cunning plan. And then of course it's to destroy India. So India's best have to protect it. It's nothing new. I could tell you everything that happens in the movie, every single spoiler, and you'll be like, that sounds like every other Indian
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
Really? You know, there's the two guys, they get court-martialed over some BS, but then they get called back into action 8 years later because they're the only two that can stop them. And of course, it's a friend of theirs from the past that's the masked menace who's trying to take out India.
Of course.
Yeah, and so then they once again have to fight to stop him and his plot to destroy India in this weird sci-fi future. And the big twist, which if you don't want to hear it, earmuffs in 3, 2, 1, his masked warriors that are immortal are clones of Rocky and Freddy.
Oh, my God.
And so then it turns into this weird clone epic saga where the reason he's evil is because he wanted mindless clones that could be commanded to do anything with one person's like will. And the Indian military was like, no, we use real people that have a conscience because that's what sets us apart. We can't have mindless warriors. And he's like, that's where you're wrong, dude. I hate
you. Didn't
you
watch Star Wars?
Yeah. And he goes psycho. So then they scar his face and now he wears a mask. You know, he has these clone warriors that stand alongside him while he's going to destroy India by making them fight Pakistan and China at the same time. It's like a Mission Impossible movie.
All right.
It's like a James Bond movie.
Sounds pretty wild.
Yeah. Not bad. It was a lot of fun. Definitely something that you can ease into Indian cinema with if it's not something that you're familiar with. Don't expect insane visuals. I mean, clearly it's working on an Indian budget, but once you get past the original like 30 seconds of like, this looks awful, it's a fun ride. Definitely worth watching in the theater. I had a really good time with it. So
right on. Well, you could check it out. It is playing in about 570 theaters nationwide.
That's it.
You can check it out. So
I'm so glad we get these movies here.
We do. We get a lot of crazy weird movies.
We
here.
Had three of them. We had
Arcadian is playing here. Then
yes, we had the Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, that's only in 1,000 theaters.
We had an Indian movie about soccer called Maidan, which it sounded. We walked by it in the theater. My girlfriend was like, "Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I want to watch that." I'm like, "That's the other Indian movie." And she's like, "Oh, which one?" Because there was another. There was what was it? There was a Telugu movie. Two Hindi movies, and then we had like a K-pop movie. We had the Nicolas Cage and a couple other things. We had lots of weird things in the theater all at once, and it was hard to choose what to go to. But I'm glad I went and watched the Bade Mian Chote Mian. It was a lot of fun. I always like Tiger Shroff in movies. He's really good. He was in War, and this is a lot like his character in War, where he has an evil version of himself. But, you know, this time he doesn't have to be killed for it to happen, so that was cool.
Well, right on. Well, let's jump into the box office since we're talking about all the movies that are out in theaters. Jake's going to give you the top 10 movies in America. We're going to do mostly domestic numbers here, unless it's some of the bigger ones that have got a worldwide. And the reason is because that's how you follow the money, and that's how you know what's going to be coming up. That's how CinemaCon becomes so predictable.
Velvet Santa said something. He said, who doesn't want evil clones to do their will? There's a like a Disney Channel movie about that had the youngest of the brothers, the Lawrence brothers, one of the Lawrence brothers. Yeah, Joey's youngest brother. He was in a movie where he had all these clones and he made them do his chores and go to school for him and everything like that. And at some point when he has like 20 or 30 of them walking around like very Multiplicity style type thing, you know, a couple of them got tired of his horse crap. It's not a bad movie either. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, we're gonna start with number 10 and work our way up to number one. Number 10's an odd one.
Number 10 is that Korean movie I was just telling you about, the K-pop movie.
Yeah, the guy from BTS.
Sure. Suga slash August D tour, D-Day the movie. $990,000 in the U.S. In its first official week, but it looks like it's made almost $2 million total. So probably in some sort of unofficial limited release. But how about that K-pop movie? These concert movies, man. Yeah, they're making it all the time now. I do want to talk about opening at number 13. Before we continue on that. Sting, the new Arachnophobia.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to get a theatrical release, but I guess it came out in about 975 theaters.
Yeah, I've been seeing the trailer in theaters, not liking it. It's like an alien spider that sings back to this little girl, gets loose in an apartment building, and then has like a real Gremlins 2 vent with it. Like, it's like the spider gremlin from Gremlins 2 meets Arachnophobia. But yeah, it's at number 13, $825,000 brought in by that one. But back to the top 10, at number 9, opening at number 9, The Long Game, the golf movie.
Yep, we talked about it briefly last week.
Yeah, $1.3 million brought in by that one. And then also another movie I thought about watching because it was only $5 to go see it.
Oh, it was only $5?
Yeah, it was only $5 to go watch it in the theater again. Shrek 2, it's 2024 re-release, for an anniversary. $1.4 million brought in by Shrek 2. too. That's awesome. Which, considering tickets were only $5, if they were $5 everywhere, then that's fantastic. Yeah. So really, it made $3 million mm-hmm. or more. What, like $3.25 million
Damn.
If it would have been charging a full ticket price and people
and
paid
I think
it.
People would have still gone and seen it.
Yeah. I mean, the Shrek movies are fun. I've seen them in the theaters, at the drive-thru.
One might say they're all-stars.
Hey now. But yeah, that's cool for Shrek. At number 7, The First Omen, continuing to drop. Open at number 4, down to number 7. Brought to you by Walt Disney Studios, which is always just fun to think that Disney's just bringing out these R-rated horror movies now. $3.8 million It's has a total of just over 14.5 so not great for it. And then steep drop for Monkey Man, down to number 6, $4 million brought in by that one. Only 17.75 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading after I talked about it last week. It's been in the can for like 3 or 4 years.
It was a Netflix movie. Yeah.
This was something that Netflix had just been sitting on for a couple of years, and they put it out in the theater. You know, you can watch my review on it last week. It wasn't as good as we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You see most of it in the trailer, and it's not much beyond that. At number 5, climbing a spot, Dune Part 2, $4.3 million brought in by it in its 7th week out, $272 million in the U.S., another $412 across the world. It's just under $700 million globally. Not too bad.
Love to see it.
And then at number 4, also climbing a spot, Kung Fu Panda 4, $5.5 million. $173.75 million in its 6 weeks out, and it has brought in $453 million worldwide.
Ridiculous.
Remember the pre-show when we said a lot of movies should stop at 1 or go no further than 3? Well, Kung Fu Panda's out here making the money to tell us to shut up.
Yeah, just shove it, ding dong.
And then holding strong at number 3, a movie you actually gave a pretty decent review for a positive
review.
But it's
not making a lot of money.
Yeah. Another $5.75 million brought in by Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and it's 4 weeks out, bringing it up to $97 million in the U.S., only 160 across the world.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Kung Fu Panda has brought in $10 million more just in the U.S. than Ghostbusters has brought in across the world.
Ghostbusters, you know, we said that no movie should go beyond 3. We did talk about how Ghostbusters should have stuck at 1, this is its 4th in line sequel with that other one hovering out there that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
So yeah, 4 is a big stretch for them on that. They shouldn't have done it. And then losing its top spot, Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire, another 15.5 brought in by it, $158 million in its 3 weeks in the U.S., but it's brought in almost $450 million across the world. They're not mad.
No, not mad about that at all. We're gonna get more inexplicable geology and caves inside of caves inside of underground surface sky.
A Titan Dennis that just happened to have, King Kong teeth
size
sitting around.
Teeth, yeah.
Yeah. But then taking that number one spot from Godzilla X Kong Civil War, $25.7 million opening. Not
pretty good
bad.
For an A24 movie.
That probably made all their money back right there.
Well, it was $50
million. Okay.
So they're halfway there. But I think that is a really good start for an A24 movie. I think they're extremely happy with how that opened up. But, you know, a lot of stuff coming out in theaters this weekend, so they're going to have to deal with that. And that's the top 10, man.
We got the title for that Lawrence Brother movie I couldn't think of.
Oh, The Other
Velvet
Me.
Santa, yeah. The Other Me, starring Andrew Lawrence. How about it?
Well, all right, guys. That's our show. We'll be back next week, and I'll probably see... we'll probably have seen at least the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes,
and
definitely watching.
Maybe
that one.
Even Abigail, or maybe even a Sasquatch Sunset. We will have seen one of them at least.
If we get Sasquatch Sunset here, I'll go watch the Furry Man Poo Poo Pee Pee movie.
Nice.
Just to see what.
Did
what
you?
It's all
what
about.
Was that movie? Swiss Army Man. That was very poo poo pee pee, but god damn, it had so much heart. Such a good movie. If you've never seen Swiss Army Man, highly recommend it. I think it's like Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah,
and
Daniel Radcliffe's like
it's just a corpse.
He's like the body he finds washed up on the island and uses him as a tool.
Yeah, it's good. Shout outs Cosmic Drew tuning in over YouTube. You are welcome. Have a great night as well. Merle asks a good question. Over on our Discord channel, which Vince is one of our mods there, he hosts a movie watch. And watch a long movie over on our Discord. He will probably throw the link up to the Discord if you want to join in, and he'll start the movie if a handful of people show up and participate. So you can jump over on our Discord there and do a little watch along. We usually pop in, and you never know what you're gonna see. It's always a random generated, but it's under 100-minute movie, so you can generally consume it without a lot of investment. So Vince just threw up that Discord link there. And don't forget to follow us and like us wherever it is you prefer, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Twitch. We really like Twitch. It's got a lot of cool tools and fun interactivity bits. And of course, jump in on our Discord or just download the audio version of this podcast wherever it is you get your podcast from. But I believe Google Podcasts shut down. So RIP, it had a lot of our podcasts on there going back as far as like 2013. You could have downloaded episodes. But that's gone. So thanks, Google. Appreciate that one. Anyway, well, with that said, I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
I'm the Grip.
And we'll see you guys next week.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.